Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen. Grab a seat. Good morning. Man, I'm so glad you're here. If you're a guest today, if it's your first time with us, let me introduce myself. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. I love you guys. And hey, if it's your first time with us, boy, did you pick an amazing Sunday to join us. We call this Rescued Sunday. We typically do these about once a year. And you've probably seen, you see Rescued up there. You may have seen people with shirts on that say Rescued. You may have noticed there's even a wall out there. We use this word because one of the core values that we have as a church, something we just speak about a lot, and it kind of drives everything we do. We believe that we are rescued people who rescue people. That's why you see Rescued up there, is because we understand that we needed to be rescued. That's why our Savior came to earth and gave his life, so that he could rescue us from the powers of sin and death and sabotage, and so that he could give us the life that we were actually created to live. And so when you see these shirts, that's what we're talking about. We're celebrating the fact that we have been rescued. And one of the ways we do that, as you see up here, is through baptism. And in fact, this wall out here, we call it our rescued wall. And the way you sign that wall is you get baptized at our church. It's just a way to publicly display all that God has done. And the reason we talk about baptism so much, the reason we're making a Sunday about it, the reason it's a big deal is because we believe from the bottom of our hearts that every baptism tells a story. That's why these are some of my favorite Sundays. It's not just about the water or the mechanics behind planting it. It's because we get to celebrate stories. We get to celebrate your story. We get to celebrate the stories of your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers. People who have chosen to place their faith in Jesus, maybe for the first time. Maybe we have people who are being baptized who maybe ran away from God for a long time and wasn't sure he had any interest in them back. And then they discovered that he never left. And he's always been loving and he's always been pursuing. And so there's different stories that we celebrate in this moment. And today, we're going to celebrate some new stories. In fact, because we just did it last hour, we're going to celebrate some of your stories. And some of you are thinking, I didn't plan to get baptized today. We know. But give us a few minutes. Because every baptism, it tells a story. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you have a story to tell. And one of the main ways we do that is through baptism, through going public with our faith. Having been in ministry now for almost 25 years, I do know that for some reason, this topic, baptism, gets a little touchy. I think it's because there's a lot of different interpretations, there's a lot of different traditions around baptism. And so what I want to do for just a few minutes is really just kind of help you understand from our perspective the answer to this question. You know, why is baptism important? Why do we make such a big deal about it? Why are we talking about it? Why are we spending a whole Sunday on it? Like why does it matter? And again, depending on your background, your tradition, baptism could have been a really big deal. Baptism could have not been a big deal at all. This may be the first time you've heard about it. And so again, I just want to help you understand it from our perspective. And I want to be clear about this. We are not saying the way we do it is the only way people should do it. We're not really even casting on other ways of baptizing. We're just talking about what we think and why we do it the way we do it, because we're just trying to become the church God has called us to be. So if you've been around Wellspring, you've heard me give this talk before, because I'd like to keep the bones similar, so we talk about baptism similarly. But if you're new and you're a note taker today, man, you are going to love it. because if you've been around Wellspring, you've heard me joke about this. I grew up Southern Baptist, and my Southern Baptist is going to show today because I have a sermon, and it has 4 points, and they all start with the same letter. My pastor would be so pleased. But why is it, why is baptism important? Why is it something we talk about? Why is it a big deal? Here's number one, and this one is really enough, but the rest we're going to kind of fill out the explanation. But the main reason we baptize is because Jesus commanded us to baptize. Jesus commands the church that is part of helping people fall in love with him that we baptize them. And he gives us this command. It's actually the last thing he speaks to his disciples before he ascends back into heaven. So if you're familiar with the timeline, Jesus had a 3-year public ministry. At the end of that time, he dies. He comes back to life. For about 40 days, he appears to his disciples. He gives them instructions. And then he ascends back into heaven and says, all right, guys, it's in your hands. And before he does, he gives his disciples something. If you grew up in church, you probably heard of this. We call it the Great Commission, where he basically says, all right, I'm about to go. Here is what matters most. Here are your marching orders. And here's what he says. He begins by telling them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. This is not the point of today. We're going to get to this in about 6 weeks. But just a reminder, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, these should be some of the most comforting words written in Scripture. Because if you consider yourself a Christ follower, that means your king is in charge. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Not some authority, not most authority, all authority. So whatever is happening in your life or in the world, you can be sure my king not only notices, my king's in charge. Well, what's your king doing? I don't know. It's above my pay grade, but I can trust he's in charge. So just a little side note reminder. Because he's in charge, he gives them marching orders. And here's what he says. He says, guys, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all the nations. Disciples just means followers. I want you to go help other people fall in love with me. And as you go, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So there it is. The reason we practice baptism and the reason it's so important to us as a church is because our king in his marching orders last thing said, hey, go make disciples and by the way, baptize them. And so we do. We baptize because Jesus tells us to baptize. Now, here's one of the really cool things about our king. Very rarely does he have to pull the card of, you know, just saying, do it just because I say so. You know, I mean, he's God. He has every right to say, just because I say so. But he also, he understands us. Jesus became us for 33 years. So he knows that whenever he can, let's try to give him something. Let's try to help them understand why this matters. And throughout the New Testament, we can really put together a pretty good picture of why he'd command this. Like, why would it be so important to him that all of us Christ followers get baptized? And so after the fact that it's commanded, when we step back and look at the New Testament, we can see not only is it commanded, we can see that it's consecrated. Consecrated means sacred. Consecrated means set apart. Consecrated means I needed a C word to make them all match. I mean, I could try to Jesus it up for you, but I want you to remember it. So it's commanded and it's consecrated. It is a sacred symbol. And the Apostle Paul, in his letters in the New Testament, talks about baptism often, and we can put together a picture of what baptism symbolizes. Here's what Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians. He just reminds all of us who've become Christ followers that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. If you are a Christ follower, you should know this. If you're not, you should understand. Anytime I give the gospel, anytime we pray and I talk about raising hands, you always hear me say, if you prayed that prayer with me, we believe something supernatural just happened. And what we believe is supernaturally, when someone places their faith in Jesus, their soul transitions from death to life. Yes, you were breathing before him, but we believe apart from Jesus, we are spiritually dead. We do not have the power to overcome our own struggles. We do not have the power to overcome our own deficits and our own addictions. We are what the Bible calls slaves to sin and the ramifications of sin. That's what we believe is our state before Jesus. And the reason he came and the reason he gave his life and the reason we can put our faith in him was so that we could receive new life. We could receive forgiveness for our sins, and we could receive the power of the Holy Spirit to help us learn how to navigate life, navigate the landmines of sin, and our good shepherd could guide us into the new life he created for us. And so what Paul is basically helping us see is that in real life, we think of Christ followers as passing from an old life to a new life. You've probably heard me say, Jesus didn't come because we were bad and he wanted to make us good. Jesus came because we were dead and he came to give us life. That's what Paul is saying here. That through Jesus, we get a new life. We get a new chance. And it's through his power that we can overcome struggles, that we can reconcile relationships, that we can overcome addictions, that we can find that healing and fruitfulness. That all comes from what Jesus does inside of us, right? So it's this really important marker that we need to remember of the old passing away and the new coming to life. So in his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul picks up on that picture even more, and he basically takes it straight to baptism, and he says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So what he's basically saying is when you get baptized, it is literally a symbol, it is literally a picture of what's happened spiritually. That's why when you get baptized, you go down under the water, symbolizing your old life literally being buried, choosing to say, I'm throwing off my old ways, I'm throwing off trying to be the leader of my life, I am surrendering to my King. And so when we go under the water, it is a mental picture and a visual for all of us to see of the old going away. And when you come back up out of the water, it is that first picture of being raised to new life. New life, not powered by yourself, but powered by your King. And so the symbol of baptism is a perfect picture of that. You go under the water, symbolizing the old. We come back up, symbolizing the new. Now, I want to be very clear. Nothing happens in this water. This isn't special water. It's not magic water. We got it out of the tap back there. And when we're done, we're going to push it out of the drain back there. So we're not saying anything special happens about this water. It's just a symbol. And you might rightly ask, well, if it's just a symbol, why does it matter? Why is it important? Well, again, because our King commanded it. But I think he commanded it because he knows us. And he knows that for human beings, we need milestones. We need markers in our life. We need moments that we can participate in that can remind us of something that's happened. Many people in this room are getting ready in the next month to 6 weeks to experience one of these milestones. Perhaps you've got a high school graduate. Perhaps you've got a college graduate. Perhaps you've got that third to fourth grade graduation. They just made it by the skin of their teeth. But have you ever thought about why we do graduation ceremonies? Because nothing actually happens. Like, they'll mail you the diploma. I didn't know that when I graduated college. Had I known, I would have just given them my address. But I don't think my parents would have liked that very much. Because there's something about humans that we inherently know we need to pause and we need to celebrate big moments. Because nothing actually happens at graduation. The tests were completed. It was over. Sometimes you get a diploma. I know some people who just get a slip of paper and it says, we'll mail you your diploma in a month. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. If I waited in this whole thing, you better hand me a diploma right now. But nothing actually happens. It is just a gathering that gives you, if you're the graduate, permission to invite friends and family and to announce, hey, this thing has happened in my life. And you're special to me, and I want you to know about it. And I want you to celebrate with me. And so we make it a big deal because it's a milestone in your life that forever you can remember that moment. I'm convinced that one of the reasons our King commands that we get baptized is so that for all time we'll have that memory. We'll have that milestone moment of choosing to go public, of choosing to be obedient and to stand before our friends and family and neighbors and coworkers and say, I have a new King now. I have a new leader. And so baptism is this beautiful symbol, this picture we get to participate in. And when we do, we find that it's commanded because it's consecrated, but also we find that it's contagious. When we go public with our faith, it is an opportunity for us to speak into the lives of our friends and family and neighbors and coworkers to say, hey, I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect. I'm far from it. But I got a new leader. I have a new King. And I want you to know that because over the next few days, weeks, and months, you're going to notice some changes in me. You're going to notice some growth in me. And I want you to know who's doing it. It's not me. It's not a fad. It's not a new influencer. It's Jesus. And he's changing my life. See, one of the reasons God wants us to go public is because it's such an easy way to share with the people who are special in your life that something has happened. And I've been doing this long enough. I see when one step of faith gives the next person the courage to take their step of faith as well. And in fact, when I was talking about this message with our team, and one of the young ladies on our team kind of shared a story with me about she and her husband now getting baptized. And so I asked her to write it up. And sweet thing, she wrote it in the third person. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And so I'm just going to read it to you exactly as she wrote it to me. She wrote, there was a young woman who didn't grow up in church. Faith wasn't a part of her story early on. But in her young adult years, she began pursuing Jesus for herself. It was personal, intentional, and eventually she made the decision to be baptized. Her boyfriend at the time had a very different story. He had followed Jesus as a child, but walked away in his teenage and young adult years. And when they met, neither of them were living for Christ. But over time, something shifted. As he saw the emptiness and hurt in her life without Jesus, it reminded him of what he had once known. So he encouraged her to pursue faith, and she did. One day, she chose to be baptized, and he had no plans to step into the water that day. But as he watched her publicly declare her faith, something stirred in him. It wasn't planned. It wasn't expected. But in that moment, he realized that he wanted to declare his faith again too, this time fully understanding what it meant. And that same day, he got baptized. And his story was changed forever. See, when one person steps forward in faith, when one person steps forward with bold obedience, that act has the power to awaken something inside of us. Because faith is contagious. Obedience is contagious. And baptism is contagious. So that's why it's important to us. Because our King commanded it. It's a consecrated, sacred event that we can have as a milestone in our life, and it's contagious. It invites the world to learn from our King. Now, before we jump into baptism, I know for many of you, you have one more question. And it's kind of been the only question you've had, and it's this. I was like, well, how do you do it? How do you baptize? Why do you guys baptize a specific way? And that's a very, very valid question. So to answer that, and then we'll move forward. The way we baptize, why it's important to us, here's my answer. Because as best we can tell, it is consistent. We believe that we are baptizing in a way that we consistently see modeled in the New Testament. And that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to be faithful to what we've seen. And so the way we describe baptism for us here, if you are a theology person and know about the different ways people talk about baptism, here's what we practice here. Believers' baptism. We practice believers' baptism by immersion. That's what it means. And so basically, really quickly, that means believer's baptism. We believe baptism is a choice one makes for themselves. We believe it's an act of obedience. And so we baptize people who can choose to get baptized. That's believer's baptism. And immersion means we just dunk you. We go all the way down. That's what it means. So why believer's baptism? Again, as we read the New Testament, every episode we find in the New Testament of someone getting baptized, it is in response to a choice they've made to follow Jesus for themselves. We never really see anyone getting baptized in the New Testament that didn't make the decision for themselves to get baptized. And I know some of you, you want to raise your hand because you're wondering, well, I was baptized as a baby. I didn't choose that for myself. How do you guys feel about infant baptism? Here's the way I would feel about infant baptism, because I myself, because we became Baptist when I was 10, but for the first 10 years of my life, I was raised in a very, very small United Methodist church. And so I was christened as a baby. And the way we see that at our church is that is a beautiful picture of your family dedicating you to the Lord. We do baby dedication at our church. We'll do it in a couple of weeks. Jesus himself was dedicated. His parents took him to the temple, and it was this sign, this picture of basically the way we do it at our church is we actually have families come up before the church, and we pray over them. And we make an agreement with the family that we will partner with them to do everything we can to point their children towards Jesus until the day they choose to follow Jesus themselves. And then and only then will we baptize a child. In fact, it's so important to us that if you are in elementary school or below, it is the only way you can get baptized at our church. We have an environment that we've created where we want to make sure that the children really understand and the parents understand what they're doing. And then we have this whole event, we call it Baptism Bash. And no, you can't get baptized at Baptism Bash. Unless you're baptizing your kid, in which case then we'll baptize you too. But we do it because we want these children who are making this amazing decision to have a milestone, to have a memory, to understand what they were doing, and to remember for all time this step of obedience they've taken. So I know what you're wondering. So if I was baptized as a baby, do I need to be baptized again? And what we would say is yes, because you were dedicated as a baby. That was your parents' choice, and it's an honoring choice. We do the same thing. But we believe baptism is an act of obedience. And so not just if you were baptized as a baby, if you were baptized under any model where it was more built on timing, stage of life, and you can honestly say, I don't really know what I was doing. I just did it because other people were doing it. We would say get baptized again, not as a judgment, not as a wagging finger, but because of what baptism is. It is a sacred, consecrated event, and we want you to have a consecrated memory. We want you to remember that bold act of obedience, that act of faith, of being baptized in front of other people as a response to something your king's asked you to do. And so that's how we think of it. It is something we do out of obedience. And the reason we dunk, immersion, is just simple grammar. The Greek word, well, we get our word baptism from the Greek word baptizo. We don't translate that word, we just transliterated it. Because the translation for baptizo is to submerge, to dip, to dunk, and it's not a sacred word. Like if you go home this afternoon, you get yourself some Oreos and some milk, you're going to baptizo the Oreos. You know? I don't think you're dipping your fingers in the Oreos and dropping some milk on it. You're going to baptizo that thing. And so we dunk because it's what the word means. And not only is it what the word means, when you think about the image, the picture of baptism, being buried, raised to new life, it just, I'll show you, it just fits. It's just a good for us. It's a consistent picture of what we've seen throughout the New Testament. And so that's why baptism is a big deal to us. It's because our King commands it. It's a sacred event. It's an opportunity to share. And it's an opportunity to participate in something your King's church has been practicing for almost 2,000 years. Every person, every man, every woman who's chosen to follow our King has gone public. And today we get a chance to stand with them. We get a chance to participate in this sacred moment. We get a chance to step in obedience and to declare our devotion to our King. And then after that, we get a chance to talk with our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers. And we get a chance to share what's been going on and how Jesus got us there, where Jesus is going to take us. And I know that's true because, as I've been saying, every single baptism, every baptism tells a story. Every single baptism. There's a story behind it. There's a soul behind it. And today, we have an exciting opportunity. Because yes, every baptism does tell a story. But today, we'd love to tell yours. See, because some of you have been sitting here this whole time thinking, I've never been baptized. And then your heart started beating real fast. Because you were like, oh no. He's going to ask me to get baptized today. Well, I'm not. The God of the universe is. But look, I get that moment, that heart beating fast. I get how scary that can feel. I get how overwhelming it can feel. And that's why we're all here together. There's no pressure this morning at all. There's really not. But I know for some of us, as I was talking, you know this is your next step. And I've got great news for you. You already have today everything you need to obey your Savior today. Because we want to help you tell your story. We want to help you get baptized today. And so we've thought of everything. We have changing areas. We have clothes. We have towels. We have cosmetics to make yourself look pretty after you get wet. We even have a photographer who's going to make sure as you come out of the water, you're going to get that perfect picture with the hair back. And if there's stuff, we could AI that away. In the name of Jesus. We want to be able to tell your story today. And so we've just tried to make this as easy as possible for you to take this step that we know your King wants you to take. In a minute, I'm going to pray and we're going to enter our response time. And just like normal, we'll have a prayer team down front if you want somebody to pray with you. We'll have communion available. But for many of you today, your next step is to get baptized. And so when we enter our response time, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Step to the aisle. Make your way to the back. There's a team of volunteers back there. They all have the rescue shirts on. They'll take you over to an area we've got. We'll register you. We'll take you to a changing area, private changing area. You can change. And in about 10 minutes, we'll bring you back in here. And we'll baptize. We're going to film it. We're going to take pictures so you can share it with the world. But for some of you today, this is your moment. And I know it feels overwhelming. So I want to give you one more image before we go. We talked about our graduation. Today I want you to think about a wedding day. Maybe yours, maybe someone else's. Because see, a wedding day, again, the decision has been made. The plans have been made. The future is even planned. But at every wedding, there's at least a moment where one or maybe both people have to walk. They have to walk down the aisle. And that walking doesn't change anything. The decision has been made. The walking declares the decision. The walking announces what's already happened in your soul. Many of you, you've placed your faith in Jesus, and he's changing you from the inside out. Today doesn't change anything. Today is giving you a chance to boldly, publicly declare your allegiance to your new king. That's what baptism does. And as your church, we are honored to celebrate with you. So I'm going to pray for us. And then if you would like to get baptized today, I'm going to challenge you to step to the back and let us celebrate with you this commanded, consecrated, contagious event that we are going to do in a manner that is consistent with the way it's been done since Jesus himself was on earth. That's what we get to participate in today. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. And God, we thank you for this moment. Lord, I pray specifically right now for every man, for every woman in this room whose heart is telling them that this is the step. Father, I pray you give them calmness, and I pray you give them courage. Father, I pray that this may be the first of a lifetime of taking bold steps for Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will confirm in them and empower this next step. So as a church, we can celebrate their salvation and celebrate the new life that you came to give us. We love you, we thank you. It's in your son's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. And if you would like to be baptized, step to the aisle.